Well, hello and welcome to today's online service from St Andrew's and All Saints in Malvern. Wherever you are watching from, you are really welcome. And particularly if you're logging on for just one of the first times, we would love to just hear who you are, connect up with you. And there's a form on our website, a connect to us or my email at the end of this. And we'd love to just connect with you and find out more about you. But really welcome to join us today. And today we're going to be continuing our series looking at the promises of God. And this week Barry's going to be sharing with us about the promise of rest, using that lovely passage from Matthew 11, which we'll be hearing later. But before we just sing our first song, I'd just love to invite us for a moment to be still and to reflect on the last week. I think particularly of just what we were talking about, the promise that we looked at last week, that promise of God's blessing on us. And I want to just invite you to think, where have you known God's blessing this week? Where have you known him keeping you and providing for you? Where have you known him giving you peace? Your workplaces, in your families, in your neighbourhoods, wherever you've been this week. You might even like to pause the video here and just share at home with those who are watching with you. But just let's take a moment to thank him. Thank God for where we've known his blessings this week. But also let's just stop for a moment and think, where have we not lived in that blessing? Where have we not trusted God? Where have we not been a blessing to others as God has called us to be? Where have we not shown them the grace and the blessing that God has shown us? And maybe let's come and right at the start of this service, just confess before God anything that we need to. And just to receive his forgiveness afresh. And you know, as God's forgiven children, he invites us to just meet with him afresh. And we're going to just say the words. I invite you to say these words with me. So words from Psalm 95, which just lift our eyes to God again. Come, let us sing to joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. So come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. And so whatever your week has been like this week, however you are feeling today, the invitation is still the same, to come and worship, to come and kneel down before the Lord your Maker, to come and draw near to him in our brokenness, in our weariness, for his arms are open wide to welcome you. For we are his people and he is our God. Just invite you to sing along at home as we worship God together.
Come to the altar, the fire. searching and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Sorrows and trades and the joy from the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness, what forgiveness? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness, what forgiveness? The precious blood of Jesus Shepherd, he restores my soul. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. Surely your goodness and mercy are chasing us.
Separated, your
my tears, you restore my soul. Draw me into your embrace, you restore my soul. Surely your goodness and mercy are chasing after me all of the days of my life. Even when I'm lost in the deepest silence, I'll fear no evil. Even when the silence falls around me, I know you hear me. Even when it feels like we're separated,
just some of you at home are just knowing that you need your soul restored by God, that you know you're dry, that you know you're weary. I just invite you to ask God to share that with him, to say to him, Lord, will you restore my soul? Maybe there are others of you who just feel a burden for somebody else who is going through a really tough time at the moment, and maybe just God's putting them on his heart right now. And I just invite you to pray for them, to lift them up before God right now, to hold them in prayer before God, to pray that God would restore their soul. Let's hold those people before God right now for a moment. Lord, we thank you that you restore our soul. We thank you that you give us rest. We thank you that you are there with us, just wanting to bless us and comfort us and give us your peace. We're going to continue in prayer, and Val's going to lead us in prayer as we just lift our eyes to another nation, and particularly to our mission partners in Tanzania.
Today's prayers will focus on our mission partners, Ben and Katie Ray, who lead Nema Crafts in Iringa, Tanzania. We will watch their recent video updating us on their work. The video ends with a list of prayer points, and the video will pause to allow us to pray individually for one or more of their prayer needs. I would also encourage you to remember them in your personal prayers in the coming weeks. At the end, we will join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer.
Hi and welcome to Nema Crafts. As you can see, it's pretty chilly here because we're going into the dry season when it gets quite windy. We're also at about 1,600 metres, which is higher than Ben Nevis, so that has an effect on the temperature as well. But I'm going to give you a really quick update of what we're doing at Nema right now. So here we are in our workshop. In terms of COVID, it seems like the latest variants seem to have come through this year. The difference between this year and last year is that we actually had it in our family. So I had quite bad symptoms, and so did our little infant, Julia. She had fever for about 5 days, which wasn't nice. Also, lots of our staff, about 25% of our staff, seem to have some kind of symptoms. Two staff members had it quite badly, but fortunately, we all seem to have recovered, so we're really pleased about that. Tanzania, as you can see, hasn't got lockdown, and it seems that things have just gone through very, very quickly, as they did last year. As you'll read in our latest link letter that will be with your church very shortly, we've sadly been mourning the loss of two members of staff. We don't think the loss was due to COVID, but sadly we lost our tailoring teacher, Mwalimu Bahabu, back in January, and in February we lost Fortunata Mwala, who was also a tailor, and she worked from home. The country as a whole has been mourning the loss of its president, John Pombe Magufuli, who died of a pre-existing heart condition last month. So our latest news is that we're training up 5 new deaf carpenters that are producing new lower-cost furniture made out of locally grown eucalyptus wood. And Joe Kettleberg is the guy in charge of training them. He's also a furniture designer, so he's been designing our new range of eucalyptus furniture as well. We're really excited that in our screen printing department, we've been able to increase our production levels. We've now got massive screens like this, which are going to mean that we're going to be able to produce really long runs of fabric all at once. We've also finally properly launched our new website, which Chloe Chettleberg, our marketing volunteer, has been very much part of. This is delivering our homewares within Dar, within 24 hours of ordering, and the uptake has been really, really encouraging so far, especially at a time when our shop sales in Iringa are so low due to a lack of visitors and tourists. So far, cushion sales have been really good on our new website, which has really been helpful for our tailoring department. We've got 40 tailors, and recently they've struggled to find work for them. Chloe is still looking for international wholesale orders for this department as well. So if you know of anyone that might like to order cushions, or bags, or wash bags, or aprons, then Caribou Sana, please contact us, and we'd love to give you a quote for a new wholesale order. So I want to finish our whistle-stop briefing of Nema Crafts by showing you our cafe. This has also been really affected by the pandemic in the last year, but fortunately we've just about had enough visitors to keep the place running. So thank you so much for watching. We really hope that you can pray for us here at Nema Crafts, and our prayer points will just be coming up on the screen now.
Oh,
Let us join together in the words of the prayer our Father taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The reading this week is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ginny. What a great reading that is. But you know, if you were to tell a non-Christian that Jesus wants them to take his yoke, they would probably think it was an invitation to share his boiled egg. And the centrality of Jesus' message at this point would, I suggest, get a little lost. And a superficial approach to the reading is to sort of look at it as though a problem shared is a problem halved. A proverbial saying. But is a problem shared with Jesus a problem halved? Is that all it's saying? Because a problem halved is still a problem, just a smaller one. And Jesus isn't offering some sort of problem discount service. So how, using our yoke metaphor, do we crack this one open? As Dave's already said, the title of our service is The Promise of Rest. And Jesus emphasizes the promise three times. Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and you will find rest. Take my yoke, it is easy and my burden is light. You know, in American football, when things are going really badly for one side, the coach will often run onto the pitch and go, time out. A short break so the players can regroup, recover. But here again, when we look deeper, Jesus is not just offering us a time out. So what is he offering us? He's an amazing illustrator and an amazing communicator. And Jesus illustrates his points by using the image of a yoke. And that would be a very familiar image to his listeners. So perhaps we need to first understand what they would have understood when he spoke of yokes. Now, I've never seen one. But Jesus, being a carpenter, probably made yokes. Maybe he even had a sign over his shop saying, my yokes are light and they fit well. And he uses the term in two distinctly separate ways. The first meaning is the straightforward interpretation. Let me share, let me help carry your load. Carry your burden. And that's an encouragement to us, and it tells us that we have a God who cares for us. And the second interpretation leads us into a much deeper and more profound understanding. The rabbis used to say that they were called to carry the yoke of the Torah. And that was carrying the heavy burden of the Jewish law with all of its commandments, all of its rules, and all of its regulations. A very legalistic and heavy load to carry. Which, of course, would lead anybody trying to follow the rules to the letter of the law into a place of perpetual failure. And a rabbi's set of rules and lists which is really that rabbi's interpretation of how to live out the Torah, was called that rabbi's yoke. And when you followed a certain rabbi, you were following him because you believed in his set of interpretations, and you believed that they were the closest to what God intended through the scriptures. And so when you followed that rabbi, you were effectively taking up his yoke. Most rabbis, of course, taught a yoke, as it were, of a well-respected rabbi who'd come before them. And yet every once in a while, a rabbi would come along teaching a new yoke, a new way of interpreting the law. And Jesus was one such rabbi. And we all know that later in the gospel, Jesus openly criticizes the religious leaders. So in Matthew 23, he says, they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. And he's saying, I come to bring you relief from this. So Jesus is offering a radically different yoke, which, because it flows from an intimate connection with God, his mercy and his love, is indeed a light and easy yoke to carry. And when he was asked, you know, effectively, what is your yoke? What is the most important commandment? He said, Mark 12, love God all out and love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus's yoke is love, not legalism. And so we can see that for those listening to Jesus, their response would be, wow, what an amazing, radically different way of seeing God, seeing who he is and how he wants us to respond. It's an invitation to step into a new relationship. Now, Dave touched on this earlier, didn't he? An invitation. And of course, an invitation is something that you can acknowledge and accept and act upon. I mean, Deb and I have had 2 wedding invites this year. Really exciting. And each one had RSVP on it. I think, is it Respondez, s'il vous plaît? Of course we could have said no. And in life, we don't always take the opportunities that we're offered, do we? When I was 16, we were in Spain with my parents on holiday, and we befriended a German family who were camping next to us. And long story short, they invited me to come and stay with them the following summer to attend the Munich Olympics, free of charge. And I was actually scared. I was too scared. And I made up all sorts of excuses. And I said no. Invitation turned down, opportunity lost. Contrast with back in 1998, I read a book by Tony Campolo, Christian writer, in which he said, most people tiptoe through life hoping to arrive safely at death. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's me. And I decided on the spur of the moment I would accept a change of job within the organisation I was working for. And you know, if I hadn't accepted that offer, I wouldn't be standing here today. And again, back in 2003, Deb and I were on a beach mission, and this young man stood up, and we were 49 at the time, a young man of 23 said, I'm leading a mission to Tanzania. Who wants to come? And I just felt, and Deb felt, that Jesus was saying, yeah, come. And we did, and our lives were changed from that point onwards. And, you know, we've seen, haven't we, Ben and Katie, our dear friends in Tanzania. We're still in touch. Hopefully we'll go out and see them again before long. And, of course, we're linked in with George. So, again, invitation accepted, lives changed. And here's the thing. We didn't do it alone. Jesus was there alongside us, helping us to carry the anxieties and fears and worries. And believe me, there have been some. And so accepting the invitation from Jesus can be life-changing. And an invitation, I must say this, actually requires a response. And to say no, or not to respond, sorry, is actually in fact saying no. So who's this invitation for? Well, depending on which translation you read, it's a short reading, but the different translations have a wonderful array of words, and it's for anybody who is tired, weary, toiling, labouring, burnt out, tired of religious rules and restrictions, perhaps summed up best in one word, burdened. And here we are, May 2021. The world has changed, hasn't it? And it's still changing. We've changed. Our awareness of the fragility of the systems that bring stability have changed. Our awareness of our own fragility in the face of forces beyond our control. Not just the virus, but climate change. We've seen recently, haven't we, in India, health systems collapsing. And at a more personal level, some of us have been very restricted in our freedoms and felt under pressure. Some of us have been working flat out and under pressure. Relationships, contact, hugs have transformed into, well, from physical to electronic, let's say. And even our church fellowship has changed from the physical fellowship of the last kind of 2,000 years to seeing each other's disembodied faces on screens. And of course, as a result, our own worship has changed. And on top of that, we've all been affected by the non-pandemic challenges of health, you know, bereavement, and the usual challenges of relationship, families, and finance. So we've all been affected according to our circumstances and our individual personalities. And now we face further transitions, further challenges to whatever the new normal may look like, both personally, corporately, and even internationally. And, you know, some of these things burden me, and I suspect some of them burden you too. And it is within this context that we have to craft our worship lives. And I just thank God that even though our lives are in turmoil sometimes and in change, God never changes. And when we're burdened and perhaps bowed under with pressure, we tend to lose our sense of perspective. We can make poor decisions. I know personally, I often try to rely on my own strength and I become fixated on the problem. And the burden gets heavier and we make poorer decisions. I don't know if that's just me. But my personal testimony is that I do need to try and maintain this perspective. And for me personally, I find that self-deprecation and humour helps me to break that chain, which is why I'm always sort of saying stupid things and cracking jokes that nobody else finds funny. But it helps me ground myself and get a sort of perspective, and it refreshes my ability to access Jesus and remind me of his invitation. And as I was writing this sermon, somebody sent me a copy of another church's magazine, and in it, which I will share with you, the church bulletin board. Just a few things that have appeared in church bulletins. I mean, the church is great at this. Here's one for you. The sermon this morning, Jesus walks on the water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus. Here's a good one for you, Dave. The rector will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, Break Forth into Joy. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, What is Hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. This is the cracker. Low self-esteem support group will meet on Thursday, 7 p.m. Please use the back door. And maybe the last one for you. This being Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. Lewis to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. Oh, dear. Don't let the worry kill you off. Let the church help. You know, I mean, we just have this great ability, don't we, in church, to shoot ourselves in the foot. And I'll stop there before I get struck off. I was very conscious, you know, when writing this talk, that we're all different. And I was really trying to communicate that Jesus being the same today, the same tomorrow, and it is at the same time different for each one of us. And we each have to find our own way of accessing Jesus and accepting his invitation. Being harnessed, as it were, in tandem with Jesus and becoming a disciple. A disciple. A very insightful and helpful translation of our passage, which Ginny didn't read, because I asked her not to, comes from the Message version of the Bible, which is this. Same reading, just the two verses. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And this is the yoke of teaching that Jesus offers us today. In accepting his yoke, we're being invited into a discipleship, a way of life based on his teaching. Notice he doesn't say an easy life, but a way of life based on his teaching and a life lived free and lightly, but only if we do it with him. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Doesn't that sound great? A life with Jesus. I'll show you how to take a real rest. We're not talking about a little snooze here, but an interesting rest. Not a final resting place, but a sort of place where we rest, receive, we get revival, and then we're able to continue the walk of life with Jesus. It's almost as though we stop in a garage for fuel, as it were, have a coffee, and then as we drive off, we find Jesus in the passenger seat, smiling at us and saying, okay, if we ride together. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Let me do the heavy lifting for you. I've just had a hernia operation, and I really can appreciate the offer of somebody doing the heavy lifting on my behalf. Truly, I can. Thank you, Deb. It's amazing. You know, when you have a hernia operation, you can't lift a tea towel, you can't lift a washing up thing, anything like that. I was told by the doctor, don't take that risk. So I think probably another 6 months before I can pick up a tea towel. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Unforced. Natural. Sounds great, and he's not looking for us to try and impress him. Jesus is offering us a time of refreshment so we can keep going with him. And to conclude, I'm just going to read the introduction to John Cromer's Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which was one of our subjects for our series last year. And he said this: if you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. He offers his apprentices a whole new way to bear the weight of our humanity with ease. At his side, like two oxen in a field, tied shoulder to shoulder, with Jesus doing all the heavy lifting. At his pace, slow, unhurried, present to the moment, full of love and joy and peace. An easy life isn't an option. An easy yoke is. Let us pray. Jesus, you are the hope of our calling. You are our ultimate destiny and our ultimate destiny. You are our way and you are our companion along that way. We fully and freely give ourselves to you again today, setting our feet on the path in front of us with confidence, hope, and expectation. Amen.
Thanks, Barry. And as the musicians come back up, I just want us to dwell for a moment on what might Jesus be saying to us this morning from this passage, from what Barry has shared. Let's just be still and invite the Spirit to speak and just to lay on our hearts what God wants us to just to know right now. I just wonder whether there are just some of us who, if we just imagine that picture of us and the yoke and Jesus, that actually would, if we're honest, we would just perhaps say that we're disconnected from that yoke, that we're actually walking, ploughing our own way with Jesus somewhere in the background. And maybe just for some today, as we reflect on these words, we just hear Jesus' invitation again to come and join me in my yoke. To stop ploughing our own way. A way which maybe we've been finding difficult and full of burdens. And Jesus is saying, come and connect up with me again. Come and connect up under my yoke. And there you'll find rest and refreshment for your soul. I just pray that if that is you, if that's any of us, that actually this week as we go out and maybe just imagine what you have ahead in this week. Just what are the things that you've got in your diary for this week? What does it look like to do them yoked to Jesus? To walk alongside him? For him to walk with us, to show us, to work with us, and bring us his rest. Just as we sing our last song, maybe you just want to continue to reflect on that and continue to just say, what does that mean for me to step back under Jesus' yoke today?
I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. I will
So we come to the end of our service, but it's the start of our mission and our worship out in the world. And as we go out this week to wherever we go, we know that we are not alone, but that we know Jesus offers to walk with us, to work with us, to share our yoke, to carry our burdens. So will we accept his invitation? Will we walk with him this week? And a final blessing for each of us, and maybe at home where you are, you just want to hold out your hands as a symbol of just wanting to receive all that God wants to give to you today. And let's just hear those words again, that priestly blessing from number 6 once more. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen. And God bless, and we look forward to joining again with you next week.